It is always good to be with you, and I count it a privilege to be asked and entrusted to come and share with you once a month. So thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. Well, listen, last month I started a kind of a new series with you titled Get in the Game. And last month we talked about how each one of us are uniquely designed, God has uniquely designed each one of us to fulfill a purpose while we are here on earth. And tonight I want to talk to you about, this really the second part of this series, but I want to talk to you about bench warmers versus players. And I want to talk to us about how we can move from just warming the bench or just sitting in the pews to participating as players in the work of the kingdom. One of the verses that I shared last time was found in Matthew chapter 9. And here's the context of the story. Jesus was going from village to village and from town to town. And while he was traveling, what he was doing was he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing the sick. And in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, it tells us that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And in that moment when he had compassion on all the people, he turned to his disciples and he said this. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, God, to send out workers into his harvest field. And the truth for us here is in this area, in this context, and really around the world, the harvest for the kingdom of God is plentiful. But oftentimes, the laborers, the Christians, the church people are very few. And so we have this responsibility then to pray to God, and who's the God of the harvest, to send out workers into this harvest field around us. And I firmly believe that God is asking each one of us to be a laborer in his harvest field. God wants us to be players. He doesn't want us to just sit on the bench or in the seat in church. And this whole idea of getting into the game and becoming a player and serving in ministry is an essential part of what God has called every one of us to do. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 tells us that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. And God wants every one of us. Because he created us and because we are uniquely designed, he wants every one of us to get out there and to serve. And so let me share with you tonight four reasons why we should get off the bench and get into the game.
好，那今晚上我想跟大家分享一下四个原因，为什么我们要来行动起来。
Let me share with you tonight four reasons why we need to get out of the seats in church and participate with what God has in store for us. Here's thought number one for us this evening. We were created to serve God. Knowing that God is asking us to get off the bench and to participate and to get in the game, we've got to understand that we were created to serve God. Ephesians 2:10 clarifies this for us, and it says, we are God's workmanship and we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works.
我们原是他的工作，在基督耶稣里造成的，为要叫我们行善，就是神所预备我们行的。
And these good works that God has created us to accomplish have already been prepared in advance for us to do.
那神要我们行善，这些行善的事情是神已经为我们所预备好了。
There are some things in the context of the church that only I can do.There are some things in the context of the church that only you can do. And when it comes to this idea of serving, we have to understand that because we are created to serve, serving is not optional. Rick Warren, pastor out in the Southern California area, says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says this, he says, you are here to make a difference by serving God and others.
Rick Warren 牧师他在他的写的书标杆中这样说，你要借着侍奉神和他人而有所作为，有所改变。
And he writes this, he continues on, and he says, when you serve others in any way, you are actually serving God. And when we do this, we are fulfilling one of God's purposes for creating us. Here's a little bit of a news flash for us tonight. We were not placed on earth just to breathe, eat, and take up space. We were not placed on this earth just to have fun and do whatever we want. God has fashioned each one of us. God has uniquely created us. Each one of us, to make a unique and distinct contribution with our lives. And again, last month I talked about the idea of living a life of purpose. And in that message I talked again about the idea that each of us were given a specific purpose to fulfill in our lifetime. And that purpose that we were created for can be fulfilled by how God created us and how we use it. And so here's how God created us. God created each one of us with a unique set of abilities. If we were to map out and just put a list of our abilities on a big whiteboard tonight, every one of us would have a unique set of abilities. And God created us with those. We also have a unique set of experiences in our lifetime. And however the paths of our lives have taken us, that we can use those experiences for getting off the bench and being a participant with what God wants for us. And then we have our unique personality traits. And so what God does is he takes all of those abilities and all of those experiences and all those personality traits, and he melts them and molds them together in us. And he uses us, if we are willing, to participate in the kingdom events of reaching people for Christ. Here's the second reason why we should get off the bench and into the game. Friends, you and I were saved. If you have stepped over the line of faith and entered into a relationship with Christ, you and I were saved to serve God. And it's important to note here that the primary reason why God sent his Son to die on a cross is to save us from our sins. God sent his Son to save you and I from eternity in hell. And God sent his Son to us so that we could have the opportunity to be reconciled with him. And so this thought here, this point number two, this thought of being saved in order to serve God is really a kind of a secondary thought. But it's critical for us in our spiritual journey to understand so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with Christ. And this thought here, point number two, comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And it says this: "It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work." Not because we deserved it, but because it was part of his plan. I was struck this week with a thought that, and it's this: when we come into a saving knowledge of Christ, what happens is this: Christ becomes both our Savior and our Lord. A Savior is someone who does something for us, correct? And so Christ died on the cross for us. He is our Savior. Let me give you another example. I'm not sure if you're a football fan or not, but if you are, it's probably the New York Giants or the New York Jets in this area. And a few years ago, the New York Jets were in a challenging situation, and they needed to hire somebody that was a really good quarterback. And so they hired this old timer in the NFL, Brett Favre, to be their quarterback. And what the New York Jets organization felt was that they would bring in this experienced, mature quarterback to come in and to save their team. And they felt like he would come in, maybe he would kind of do his thing, and that maybe he would lead them to a championship of some sort. And during that time, we could potentially visualize the newspaper headlines around this new hire. The sports headlines might have read Brett Favre, Jets savior. And why is that? Because Brett Favre would have done something for them. But when you and I come into a relationship with Christ and we know that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, we can understand Savior, but we need to look at the Lord aspect for a moment. The Lord is different. The Lord is someone who has power and authority over others. A Lord is someone who expects something from us. We're familiar with the word landlord, right? As a landlord, they have power and authority over their tenants, and they expect a rent payment at the end of the month. And so again, when you and I were saved, Christ became both Savior and Lord in our lives. He does something for us by giving us an opportunity to be spared from from eternity in hell. And at the very same time, because He is our Lord, He also expects something from us. God redeemed us for the purpose of doing His work. We can find a number of examples in Scripture, and let me just point out a few examples for you tonight. If we were to read through the story of Jonah, we would discover that God asked Jonah to go to the Ninevites and to preach against them. And in that story, if you're familiar, we find that Jonah really did not want to go. And so what he did was he ran away. And he jumped onto a ship to get as far away from God as possible. And what happened was there was this big storm that kind of rose up on the waters. And the men of the ship knew what Jonah was doing. He was running away from God, and so they decided to throw Jonah overboard. And it was during this time after the men threw Jonah overboard that he was swallowed by a whale. And while Jonah was in that whale, he had some serious prayer time with God. I would too, wouldn't you? Right? And after 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, the Lord commanded Jonah to be spit out. And because of that time with God, in those 3 days and three nights, Jonah knew what he had to do. And so he went back to Nineveh as God had originally intended for him to go. And he preached against the Ninevites. And God spared Jonah's life so that he could do the work of God in the city of Nineveh. And it's important for us to understand, I actually skipped over it unintentionally before, but it's important for us to understand that we are not saved by our service, by our works. That is not what saves us. But we are saved for service and for works. And we can see in this one example of Jonah how God spared his life in order to do the good works that God had called him to. We can find a similar story in the life of Paul in Acts chapter 9. Paul was just doing his thing, and he was walking along on the Damascus Road one day. And God called out for, it was Saul then, but God called out for Paul. And for 3 days, Paul was blind and he had nothing to eat. And God had sent a person named Ananias to go to Saul and to tell him what God wanted him to do. And immediately, the story says, if we were to read it tonight, the story tells us that immediately Paul, was healed of his blindness. And over the course of the 3 days, and in that moment that Paul regained his sight, he knew that his life had been spared for a purpose of doing the work of God. Then Peter is our last example here. Peter was a disciple of Christ. He had walked with Jesus and he was very, very close to Christ. And in Matthew chapter 16, we find Jesus telling Peter that he will use Peter to build the church, and there's nothing that will come against that. And if we were to continue to read the story, we know that later on in the story of Jesus and Peter, that Peter denied knowing Christ 3 times. And then in John chapter 21, we find here where Jesus and Peter had another conversation. And even though Peter had denied Christ 3 times, Jesus reinstated Peter into the ministry. And Jesus in this moment was giving Peter a second chance, and he redeemed him in order for him to accomplish the work of God. Now let's take these examples and apply them to our lives tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been running away from God like Jonah did. My encouragement to you tonight, friends, is to stop running. God has a ministry that only you can do. Nobody else in this room tonight can do the ministry that God is calling you to do. Stop running and let God use you. Maybe you've been spiritually blind like Paul was. Let me be your Ananias tonight and tell you that God wants to use you in a great and powerful way. Maybe you're more like Peter. And there have been times when you've turned your back on God. But know this, that God is a God of second chances. And even though we might have turned our back on God, He wants to use us for the ministry that He's created us for. Here's a third reason why we need to make sure that we're getting out of the seats, off the bench, and getting into the game. Not only were we created to serve, I mean, God created us like that, but you and I were called to serve. To help us understand our call to serve, we have to look at our call not just as an individual call to serve, but we have to look at our call to serve as a part of the body and as a part of the community of faith. Last month, we took a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we discovered that we are all part of the body. And we need to dig a little deeper into understanding that our call to serve God is also as a full, not just a part here and a part there, but as a full body of Christ. Let me look at Matthew chapter 16 again here, because it's significantly important for us. Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's specifically talking to Peter, and I just shared this story just a moment ago. And He says to Peter, "Peter, on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now the word church here, when Jesus says, "And on this rock I will build My church," the word church here in this passage is from the Greek word ecclesia. And ecclesia is a compound word.
Ecclesia is a 复合词.
The ek, E-K, means out of.
那其中的 ek的意思就是出来的意思.
And the kaleo, or the ecclesia, means called.
那kaleo这个是呼召的意思.
Now the Greeks during this time, they did not use the word ecclesia for religious purposes.
在当时那个时候，希腊人他并不用这个词来表征任何宗教的含义。
But in this moment when Jesus was speaking here, this is the very first time the word ecclesia is used in this scriptural sense.
那在这个时候，当耶稣用这个词的时候，这是第一次这样一个词被用作属灵的含义。
And so when Jesus said that He will build His church, He was talking about building His church with people who are called out to serve God. And the full context here means that there are people that are called out in a collective manner as a church body. And you and I would call ourselves a congregation or an assembly of God's people. And in this passage, when Jesus was speaking to Peter as well as those who were around Him, He was calling people out to a life of service. And the majority of people that were around Jesus that day were Jewish. And so they knew the language of Jesus, and they knew also what was expected of them. And so for the Jewish people, that they knew that they were being called out in every other aspect of their life. The Jewish people were called out of their homes. They were called out of their work and their play. And they were continually called out of anything else that they might have been involved in. And the idea here is, again, that Jesus is calling us out to serve in a collective manner as the body of Christ. And God, the creator of all that there is asking you and I to be a part of His great work. And again, there is a job that God has for us that no one else can fulfill but you alone. I think it's easy for us sometimes in the church to just let somebody else do it. And what happens is this, if we just let somebody else do it, one of two things is going to happen. The first thing that will happen is that there will be just a few people doing all of the work. Or the second thing that could happen is nobody does any work. And that is not at all how God has designed a people who are called out to serve Him. Maybe you've read this poem, this story before, but I think it's applicable for us tonight. It's the story of anybody, everybody, somebody, and nobody. Here it is. There was a most important job that needed to be done, and no reason not to do it. There was absolutely none. But in vital matters such as this, the thing you have to ask is, who exactly will it be who will carry out this task? Anybody could have told you that everybody knew that this was something somebody would surely have to do. Nobody was unwilling, anybody had the ability, but nobody thought he was supposed to be the one. It seemed to be a job that anybody could have done if anybody thought he was supposed to be the one. But since everybody recognized that anybody could, everybody took for granted that somebody would. But nobody told anybody that we are aware of that he would be in charge of seeing it was taken care of. And nobody took it on himself to follow through and do what everybody thought that somebody would do. When what everybody needs did not get done at all, everybody was complaining that somebody dropped the ball. Anybody then could see it was an awful crying shame, and everybody looked around for somebody to blame. Somebody should have done the job, and everybody would have, but in the end, nobody did what anybody could have. Friends, listen. God is calling you and I to serve. Never let this silly story be a part of your congregation. Here's the fourth reason why we should get off the bench and into the game. We are commanded to serve God. The calling of the disciples is a perfect example for us here. Listen to the language in Jesus' voice and the response of the disciples. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Now listen to the language of Jesus here in these remaining verses. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will make you fishers of men. At once, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. James and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. And Jesus called to them as well. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told them, and Matthew got up immediately and followed him. And here's what we need to take away from this point and the reality that we are commanded to serve God. Like the disciples, Jesus is commanding each one of us to follow him, and he's saying to us, come, follow me. And in that following, he's telling us how we will be serving. He's telling us that he will make us fishers of men. And our response, friends, should be immediate. Immediately, they put down what they were doing and they followed him. And when God is calling us and commanding us to serve him, we need to do this immediately. It's interesting because in the middle of this storyline, we have Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. And here in this text is a story of someone who didn't understand what the word immediately meant. It says this, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied to the teacher of the law, and he said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
耶稣说，狐狸有洞，天空的飞鸟有窝，人子却没有枕头的地方。
Another disciple came to Jesus in that moment and said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father.
又有一个门徒对耶稣说，主啊，容我先回去埋葬我的父亲。
And Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.
耶稣说，任凭死人埋葬他们的死人，你跟从我吧。
And in the story, we can assume that the person desiring to follow Jesus never did follow Jesus because he was unwilling to follow immediately.
我们在故事最后，我们可以想象那些想要跟从耶稣的，他却没有能够跟从耶稣，因为他们没有这样的心智，愿意立刻放下手中的来跟从他。
It's critical, friends, that if we're following Christ, if we're serving Him, that we respond to Him immediately out of obedience.
我们要记住的，这是非常重要的一点。当我们愿意来跟从我们的主的时候，我们必须要很立刻的来回应。
If we jump back to Matthew chapter 16, this was after Jesus told Peter that He will use him to build His church.
让我回到马太福音的第十六章，也就是耶稣告诉彼得，他要。
We also find Jesus here saying that even the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. And the people and culture of that day understood the importance of the word gates. When Jesus in this moment talked about the gates of hell, the people who heard this, they were familiar with the gates of Jericho, the gates of Jerusalem, and the gates of all the other places.
在这个时候，当耶稣提到阴间的门的时候，当时听到的人，他们都能够理解门的意思，他们都能够理解耶利哥的城门，也能够理解耶路撒冷的门，也能够理解别的地方的门。
And in their culture, the gates were a place where there was some serious business taking place. The nobles of the city gathered there and they held court cases. People sold items and they had other businesses that took place at the gates. And the gates, what they were doing, the gates represented power and authority for the people of Jesus' time. And so when Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail, what he was saying is that the gates of hell will be shut closed because the church has now invaded that territory.
在那个时候讲到阴间的权柄不能胜过的时候，也就是告诉我们说，阴间的门会被关闭，因为教会会得胜。
The church, which is made up of people like you and I, as Christ followers, is too powerful when we come together for Satan.
由神的子民所组成的教会，对阴间的权柄来说，这是更加的强有力，是撒旦没有办法能够战胜的。
When you and I work together, friends, when you and I get off the bench and we start participating in the works of God, we have might and power and authority.
当我们一起能够起来，我们一起同工，一起来侍奉主的时候，我们有能力，有权力。
And when we come together and we use how God has gifted us, we can advance the gospel message.
当我们在一起的时候，我们使用神所赐给我们所有的才能跟我们的经历的时候，我们可以让福音能够往前行。
Jesus didn't come so that he would do everything.
我想是耶稣来到这世上，不是因为他要做所有的一切的事情。
Jesus came to equip us to do the work of the kingdom.
他来到这世上，为了装备我们，好让我们做神国的工。
And our job, as Jesus commanded us, is to be an assembled, called out people.
我们所神给我们的一个使命，就是我们要去能够呼召人一起来做神的工。
And we're told in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a called out people who are coming out of darkness and walking into His marvelous light.
在彼得前书的第二章第九节这样说到，是要能够呼召神的子民，叫他们能够出黑暗入奇妙的光明。
And that is for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God and to kick down the gates of hell. When we are commanded
to serve
Christ,
来侍奉基督,
it is a summons for every person to come together because God has called us to a great work that will end ultimately in victory. Sometimes in the life of the church, we like talking about revival. And I think we can pray for it and hope for it. But revival will not happen until we raise our hands and we say to God, sign me up. I want to be a part of the work of God's kingdom. I don't want to be a bench warmer. I don't want to warm a seat on Sunday nights. I want to be a player. And I want to participate in what God is doing and what He's asking of me. And my prayer for us as we close is this. That each person will find a place of ministry where you can connect with God. And advance the message of Jesus Christ. Let me pray with you tonight. God, we thank you for our time this evening. And God, I pray that you would help us leave this place understanding that you have uniquely designed us for a purpose. And that you are calling each one of us to serve in kingdom works. Lord, I pray that you challenge every one of us here tonight. And that you would help us to get off the bench and onto the playing field. And so that we can see hundreds and potentially thousands of people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We pray these things tonight in your name. Amen.